But I want to look at Ephesians chapter number 2. Back some time ago, probably just 2 or 3 weeks ago, Brother Mark made a statement in Sunday school, in the Sunday school hour. He said something about that a lot of saints and a lot of children of God don't really realize what they have in Christ and what they really realize are in Christ. And he made mention, if my mind serves me right, he made mention of Ephesians. And how Ephesians, and when you read the book of Ephesians, and what a tremendous book. Especially you that have just gotten saved. Kirsten, some of you that just got saved. I encourage you to read the book of Ephesians. You're going to find that a key phrase is in Christ. In Christ. And you go on down through here. I've got them all circled. In Christ Jesus. In Christ. In verse number 4, in Him. In verse number 7, in whom? In Himself in verse 9. In Christ. In Him. And just all through there, talking about being in Christ. And those that are born again, you are in the body of Christ. And I want to kind of look at this and just give you a little background where the book of Ephesians comes from. If you'll recall, the Apostle Paul's the writer, and he's writing, this is one of his prison epistles. He's writing Ephesians in prison. Now, can you imagine sitting and reading this book and then just getting an idea of where the Apostle Paul was? Right in the middle of a jail cell. Just like Philippians, just like Colossians. Again, I think there's one more, but and the truths and the blessings that comes out of these books. Just opening in Ephesians chapter number 1, I don't really want to get started in Ephesians chapter number 1 because I never went any further, Brother Silas. I know you were there at the nursing home. I never really got out of chapter number 1. But Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God to the saints which are at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. He's writing to the book, these people at Ephesus. It says, to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Look at verse number 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. As I read it, just really think of where he's at. He's in prison. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. The Apostle Paul, where is he at? According as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. And on down through here you see really what you are in Christ. You've been blessed. You're in Christ. You've been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. You've been chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. Look at verse number 5. Being predestinated unto the adoption. Not only have you been predestinated, and that's for believers only. That's not, you know, God's going to sort it out one day. In verse number 5, predestined, that's only for believers, unto we've been adopted. And I shared at the nursing home, and I think Brother Silas got a blessing out of this, but I shared a story about this little girl. She was adopted, and she went to school. And the little kids, they got to making fun of her. Said, yeah, you were adopted. Your mom and dad didn't care about you. They put you up for adoption. You had to spend your life in this orphanage, and you're with somebody that don't even, with just some strangers. Well, I got to bothering the little girl. She went home. Somebody's may have heard this story. It got to bother her. She went home. And she got to tell her mom and dad, they're making fun of me. I'm adopted. Y'all not really my mom and dad, my biological mom and dad. Y'all come to the orphanage and you got me and you brought me home and you're not really my biological family. And the kids are making fun of me. Well, of course, the mom, she got to thinking about this and she said, I tell you, sweetheart, when you go to school in the morning, said, I want you to tell those kids when they start making fun of you, say that my mom and dad, the ones I'm living with now, my mom and dad, they went down to the orphanage one day, and then they got to looking at all these kids. You know, there was the little black kids, as white, and probably some, you know, Latino kids and some Mexicans, and they got to looking at all these kids, boys and girls, and said, I want her. And said, my mom and dad, when they came, they picked me out. But your mom and dad got stuck with what they got. We've been chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. I'm glad even before the foundation of the world. But we've been chosen in Him. He already knew who was going to be saved. And I'm thankful for that tonight. And verse number 6, to the praise of His glory, the grace wherein He's made us accepted. Look at it. There's another one. We've been accepted. Accepted in the Beloved. In verse number 7, redemption. We've been redeemed. In verse number 7 as well, we've been forgiven. Boy, I'm so thankful tonight that I'm forgiven. I'm forgiven of my sins. I definitely want to jump into chapter number 2 and look. I want you to stand for the reading of the first 10 verses as we normally have you do. That was just a little bit of introduction to kind of get you to where we're at. In chapter number 2, in verse number 1, and you hath He quickened. And puts them together, verse chapter number 1 and chapter number 2, which in verse number 22 has put all things under His feet and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. And you hath He quickened. That quickened means to be made alive. You've been made alive tonight. If you've been born again, you're made alive in Christ tonight, who were dead in trespasses and in sins, wherein in time past you walked according. Look at this. In the past, you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. If you're not saved tonight, you fall in this crowd. You're going in the course of this world. You're going in the course of the prince of power of the air. You're children of disobedience. Verse number 3, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling desires of the flesh and of the mind. And we're by nature the children of wrath. Again, tonight, if you're not saved, you're a part of this crowd. You're a children of the wrath, even as others. But in verse number 4, here God butts in. And He said, but God, who's rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us. Hey, there it is again. He loved us. There's another blessing we have as being a saint of God, being a child of God, being redeemed and being forgiven and being chosen and being adopted, accepted in the Beloved. Looky here. Hey, He loved us. We love Him because He first loved us. If He hadn't loved us first, He'd have never saved us. Why would He have even come to this earth to die on an old rugged cross if He didn't love us? In verse number 5, boy, that verse 4 sounded so good, I believe I'll read it again. But God, who's rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins. Here's that word, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you're saved. Hath raised us up together. Made us sit together in heavenly places. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, if you're saved tonight, you're a part of this crowd. Here in this verse, in verse number 6, hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Hey, if we're saved and we're in Christ, and Christ is in heaven, and we're in Him and He's in me, guess where I am right now? Positionally, hey, I'm already there. Praise God. Why are we so droopy? Why are we so down? Why do we live defeated lives? Then positionally, we're already there. We're already sitting in heaven. We're just waiting for our body to catch up with it. Thank God tonight has raised us up together, made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself, looky here, it's the gift of God. It's a free gift given to us, not of works. I don't care what you lay out in front of me tonight. You can bring everything up here. You can bring your good works. You can help the elderly across the street. You can give all the money. Brother David, you can do it all. You can lay it right there. But it doesn't matter. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. There's nothing I can do to merit God's favor. There was nothing that I could do to get saved but just accepting Him. Verse number 10, looky here. Here I'm a part of this crowd. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. That's the reason I'm saved. I work because I'm saved. I want to serve Him because I'm saved, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Thank you. You may be seated. And let's just go with it here just a little bit. In chapter number 2, again, we see where He's, man, sitting right there in the middle of a prison cell. And can you imagine the thoughts of sitting and getting to pin this down? And you hath He quickened. You have made us to sit together in heavenly places. Here He was writing, pinning it down under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit as the Holy Spirit given to Him. And what a blessing now. It's been preserved in this good King James Bible that we already have felt the blessings of God just as we read Ephesians chapter number 1 and read this chapter right here. And you hath He quickened. You were made alive that were dead in trespasses and sins. Well, I'm glad. I thought of this one time. You know, salvation is out of this world. And I'm thankful for that tonight. I want you to look with me for just a few minutes. I want to look at the course of the sinner. In verse number 2, if you're not saved tonight, I want to introduce this course to you. This course is the course of the sinner. In Matthew chapter number 7, it reminds us there's two ways. There's a broad way and there's a narrow way. All of us tonight are on the broad way or on the narrow way. If you're not saved tonight, you're on that broad way that leadeth to destruction. If you're saved tonight, you're on the narrow way that leadeth to life everlasting and on to the peace that's awaiting us as we walk this narrow way. The course of this sinner. Everybody's on a course. Hey, there's no middle ground. There's no middle ground tonight. Paul's reminding us in Ephesians really what we are. I want you to look, sinner, dear sinner friend, and I know there's some in here by your testimony, you're not saved. And before we leave tonight, hey, I hope that you'll find Jesus, and I hope that Jesus will call out your name and say, come on. Come on, child. Come on, young lady. Come on, young man. Come on, mom, dad, grandma, grandpa, whatever you are that's sitting in this under the sound of my voice. In verse number 2, wherein in time past, He's just wanting to take us back and remind us that before we got saved, you know, I was saved as a 9-year-old boy. But you know, I was still on this same course. Wherein in time past, you walked according to the course of this world. I want you to look at the control. There's three enemies that we face in life. And I want to deal with them here in the first few verses. First of all, you're going to see the world. And number 2, another enemy is the flesh. That's that old self. That's the one I have a problem with. You know, I don't really have a problem with the world. And I really don't have a problem with that third enemy, the devil. And that was really where I really wanted to expose. So we're probably going to hit him, no doubt, here in just a little while. I wanted to deal mainly with the devil tonight. Just expose him for who he was. And we may just do that anyway, because he's in here in chapter number 2, according to the course of this world. According to, or means among, this world system. This world will lie to you. This world, as my dear wife has said here not too long ago, the world don't do anything for us. The world shouldn't do anything for you. The world shouldn't mean anything to you. The world didn't do anything to merit your praise tonight. Now, don't even think about it, because the world, they'll lie to you. They try to offer you everything. The drugs, the alcohol, the premarital sex, they'll bring it all out there. Try to offer to you and bring you popularity. They'll try to bring you young people. They'll try to bring you to the place where you're going to make a decision. according to the course of this world. That's the reason we see a lot of people, and there may be some here tonight, you're walking according to the course of this world. You're following this world system. Whatever the world system puts right in front of you, you're falling right after it. Oh, you're just like a little child, just eating it up. Anything the world offers to you, okay, you're just gobbling it up. I'm ready. Whatever this world brings, the world hates you. They'd love to see you fall flat on your face. There's some people around here in this world system, they'd like for RBT to close their doors tonight. They'd like to see us go out of business around here. They'd like to see the Spirit of God move out of this place according to the course of this world. Hey, sinner friends, you're on a course. And we've been reminded the control of the world. Boy, I'm glad the Word of God says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. I tell you, thank God, love not the world. This world's not saved. Hallelujah. In Romans chapter number 12, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renew of your mind. Children of Israel, where were they? They were in Egypt. They got out of that world. Egypt's type of the world. They got out of the world. And the only way, when they got out of that world, they got to going on to Canaan life. And that's where God wants to get you. He wants to pull you out of this world. Let's move on. Looky here in verse number 2. According to the course of this world, but according to the prince of the power of the air. Yesterday I scribbled down on a piece of paper. I told you I was going to get it. I just got to meditating on really Satan and the devil. If I don't get no further, I'll get this. The command of the devil. I told you there was three enemies, Miss Alicia. I told you there was three enemies. The world, the flesh, and the devil. And I got to thinking about all the names of the devil. And I got to pinning them down here. You know, in the Word of God, and it's what thought about me in my text, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. It's a roaring lion. Walketh about seeking whom he may devour. He tells us in that scripture that he's our adversary. He's our enemy. He's our foe. He's our opposition. It also tells us in that text that he's a roaring lion. And you know, a lion, it's fierce. It's one of the fiercest animals that you'll find in the animal kingdom. It doesn't matter what comes in its way. He wants to devour that. A little deer or another little animal, it doesn't matter if it's a human being. You get in his territory, he's going to make sure he devours you. You know, that's what Satan wants to do. He's wanting to take you down. He's wanting to destroy you, especially if you're not saved here tonight. He wants to take you down. He wants to take you down the pits of hell. That's where he's going to one day. But right now, you know, he's the prince of the power of the principalities. He's the prince and the power of the air. Also, he said in that text, he wants to devour. But there's some other things that this Satan is. Not only is he Satan, not only is he devil, but he's talked about in Luke chapter number 11 as Beelzebub. He's an accuser of the brethren. In Genesis, we've seen he was a serpent. The prince and power of the air, right here in this chapter. He was Lucifer in Ezekiel. And this is all Satan. He's our enemy. If I was to have you, and I don't want to do it because I hope nobody would do it. But anybody that likes Satan, you could stand up. Anybody that wants to go the way Satan wants you to go, go ahead and stand up. And you can testify saying, I love Satan. But I'm here to tell you tonight, I hate him. I hate the devil. I don't like to even bother with him. I hate when he bothers me. Somebody says the devil ain't real. Well, mind you, I don't know. But the devil spends a lot of time at the house. The devil likes to spend time here. And I'm sure he does at your all's house too. Because if you're saved and doing anything for God, he wants to be right there. And it's not me, honey. I ain't the devil now. Lucifer, he's also the tempter. I'm reminded there in the scriptures, in Genesis, where he came to Eve and he tempted her. That him being the serpent. He, even in Matthew chapter number 4, he tempted Christ. Why? Christ was in the wilderness. But you found out that Christ, what he done, he was able to conquer Satan there in the in temptation. But he also transformed in 2 Corinthians. He transformed himself into an angel of light. He's known as the prince of darkness. He's also the liar and the father of it. He's also a deceiver. There's many that ended up in hell tonight because they were deceived, thinking they were saved. And Satan had them so full, they said, "You're all right." He's told them, he's got up on their back and said, "You're all right, you're saved, you're born again. Or this old religious stuff, don't worry about it. You're going to be all right." And he tries to tell people that if they're a Christian, you're just as good as they are. And you know you've heard that. You go out visiting, knock on a door, or you get to talk to them at the workplace or where at school. And they say, so-and-so, they claim to be saved, but, well, they act like this and they act like that. And, well, if that's the way they are, I'm just as good as they are. Boy, that's a bad testimony, ladies and gentlemen. I hope there would not be any like that in the church. Live a life to be pleasing to the Lord. Live a life where others would say, "I want what they got." I don't want no hypocrite telling me what to do, how to live. But the control of the world, the command of the devil, but the cravings of the flesh. In verse number 3, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh, a living after the flesh and living after the mind. Hey, we're still talking about the course of the sinner. It's the way the sinner's going. They're going with the world. They're going with the devil. They're going with their flesh. Making sure this old flesh, this old number one life, making sure their desires are fulfilled. And that's what the world wants to do. That's the reason I hate the devil tonight. He's lied to a many young person. He's lied to some of you tonight. You're going on living the way you did. Maybe some of you still living that way. He's lying to you. You're wanting to go according to the flesh and saying it feels good. This alcohol feels good. That devil's a liar. He hates you. Contrary to what you may think, the devil hates you tonight. He hates you. He wants to send you to hell. He'll throw everything out in front of you. He'll throw that out. He'll throw this out. I hate him. I hate him tonight. I hate the devil. That's the reason I wanted to expose him. The cravings of the flesh, it's our lifestyle to do what the mind and the body desired. Well, you get saved by the good grace of God. There's someone that comes inside. That Spirit of God. When you start walking, when you're wanting this, that old flesh wants to get closer to the world, wants to, pick up things that maybe the world offers, what that flesh likes. Can't do it. I can't do it anymore. And so, such were some of you, drunkards, drug addicts, just lived an immoral lifestyle. But you can't go that way anymore. You can't go to the parties anymore. Because in verse number 4, moving right along, verse number 4, but God moved in your life. He butted in your life and said, "Hey, it's time that I take over. Satan, you've had him long enough. World, you've had him long enough. Flesh, you've had it long enough. It's time for me to butt in and own the situation." And God intervened. God come through on verse number 4. But God... Look, we're rich tonight. Who's rich in mercy? Oh, we're serving a rich God tonight. He's rich in mercy. He's rich in grace. He's rich in goodness. He's rich tonight. God butted in. Boy, I'm glad November of 1979, God butted into my life as a little 9-year-old boy. A lady that led me to the Lord is in here tonight. Miss Betty, thank you, dear lady. Took time out. She could have went to the house after Sunday night service. She could have went to the house. She was my Sunday school teacher at the time. Mama called her. Said, "Won't you come and talk to Craig?" Oh, I'm glad God butted in that night. He said, I see a little young, I see a little 9-year-old boy sitting right there on my mom's bed. I don't know why I picked mom's bed. As I told mom, I said, I'll meet her in here. Sitting there on the bed. And then Miss Betty took that good precious King James Bible, took me into Romans Road, showed me the scriptures. I don't remember a lot I said, but there's one thing I said. God, I don't want to go to hell. Come into my heart. And here just a couple of Sundays ago when them ladies were saying, I could testify that morning, I'm not going to hell. Tonight, I can stand before you again and say, I'm not going to hell. Contrary to what some may preach, that I could lose it. I'm not going to hell. The devil lost the victory that night. The devil lost in 1979 with this old boy. The devil lost that year you got saved. The devil lost that night that you got born again by the grace of God. And he butted in and said, it's time that I save this young boy. It's time that I save this young girl. It's time that I butt in on the situation and I show him some mercy and I show him some grace. He intervened in my life. Oh, look at the change of the saints, the course of the sinner. But look at the change of the saints there in verse number 4. We've seen the intervening of the Father. But God, who's rich in mercy, oh, it's just like a do not enter sign. You know, you go up to a do not enter. And, you know, even there at the plant, there all around the Eastman, there'll be red tape that says do not enter in a lot of different places. And you don't go past the do not enter. You know, that's kind of what God done for me that day. Put that red tape up, do not enter. I said, okay, I will, God. Turn my life around. The intervening of the Father. He showed me mercy. He didn't give us what we deserved. Oh, He showed us love. Look at there, but God who's rich in mercy. For His great love. Because He loved us. He showed us love. Oh, He showed us grace so much. He done for us. God made a way for an old sinful man to be saved. I want you to look at verse number 5 and 6. Moving right along. Even when we were dead in sins, it's quickened us. Not only the intervening of the Father when He stepped in, but I want you to know we're within the inclusion with the Son. We're included with the Son. Do you realize, as I said earlier, I'm in God, He's in me. Well, I've been included in His plans because wherever He goes, I'm a-going. And wherever I'm a-going, He's a-going. You know, when I walk right over there, look who's with me. Jesus is with me. When I walk out tonight, and you as a body of believers, when you walk out the door tonight, guess who's going with you? Hey, the whole big plan of God. That intervening of the Father and inclusion with the Son. Hey, we're all included with it. The plans that God's got. Jesus is following the will. So I'm going with Him. Hey, we done shared a lot of this with you. He loved us in verse number 4. Look at verse number 5. He's quickened us. He's made us alive. He's quickened us together. Verse number 6. He's raised us up together. Made us sit together in heavenly places. Oh, let me give you a couple of verses. I love these verses. Revelation chapter number 1. You don't have to turn unless you just feel froggy about it. But Revelation chapter number 1. Please write it down if you don't want to. Verse number 5. And from Jesus Christ, who's the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, the prince of the kings of the earth, unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood. Boy, I like this verse right here. It's just about make me want to go, whoop! And hath made us kings and priests. Hey, I'm a part of the royal family, Brother Mike. I'm a part of a royal family. My first message standing right here was I'm a king's kid. Romans chapter number 8, and verse 14 through 17. You can read it. That was my first message. Hey, I'm a king's kid tonight. I'm a part of the royal family. I'm a part of a holy nation. I'm a part of a royal priesthood. Hey, I like this, peculiar. Hey, God said we're special. Yeah, we may be peculiar to a lot of people, but we're special tonight.
Hey, we've been included with the Son. Let me turn to verse 2 in 1 Samuel. Brother Billy, this might make you shout right here. 1 Samuel and chapter number 2. I hope I ain't got this written down wrong. Let me turn there. 1 Samuel chapter number 2. Hey, we're included with the Son. Verse 8 and 9. Oh, yeah. I'm going to begin in verse number 7. The Lord maketh poor and maketh rich. He bringeth low and lifteth up. He raiseth up the poor out of the dust and lifteth up the beggar from a dunghill to set them among princes, to make them inherit the throne of glory. Hey, I'm a part of this crowd. And to make him inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he set the world upon them. He'll keep the feet of his saints, and the wicked shall eat silence in the darkness, for by strength that no man prevail. I'm a part of that crowd. Been brought out of the dunghill and set amongst princes. But I want you to look in verse number 7. I've got to get back to Ephesians real quick. Ephesians chapter number 2 and verse number 7. The ages to come he might show in the exceeding riches of his grace and the kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. Hey, we're talking about the change of a saint. The course of that sinner. Sinner friend, you can't get to number 4 just yet. But it might be tonight that God wants to put verse number 4 in your life. He might want to say, but God, in your life. And it could be this very night. Hey, you're not to verse number 4, dear sinner friend. But in verse number 2, in the second, the change of the saints. Hey, we're born again. We're a part of this crowd. Verse number 7, that in ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. Not only the intervening of the Father, the inclusion with the Son, but the inheritance that waits. Hey, we're trophies tonight. We're trophies of his love. We're trophies of his grace. And one of these days, so to speak, when we get to the big trophy case in the sky, he's going to show us all. Hey, he's going to show us off. We're part of his. We're trophies tonight. Those of you that lived a life so displeasing to the Lord, and we all, it doesn't matter, young or old. I was saved at a 9-year-old, and God saved me out of a lot of them heartaches. But some of you all had to face them: the drugs, the alcohol, the immoral lifestyle, a lifestyle that wasn't pleasing. You're a trophy tonight. You're a trophy. And he's going to show you off. We've got an inheritance that waits. Oh, I'm not waiting on no cabin. I ain't waiting on no cabin. Oh, I don't go to bed at night. Boy, I can't wait to get my cabin right across over in the corner when God promised me a mansion. I'm not waiting on no cabin. Hey, I've got an inheritance that waits him. He's just give us a little bit of taste. The Spirit of God works in our life as we read. We read Ephesians. We find out what we are in Christ. That's just a little taste of what we really are, Brother Frankie, what we really are. But this is just a drop in the bucket. You're talking about inheritance when we get there. A land, my soul. But you know, what's the blessing part about it? Yeah, I can't wait to get there. I can't wait to see the mansion. I can't wait to see the streets of gold. I can't wait to see our grandparents. And I know many of you do. And many of you got moms and dads over there to see those old saints of God that's went on before us, our loved ones. You can't wait. But there's one, Miss Alicia, I can't wait to see. And that's my Lord and Savior. You know, when I get before the Lord, you know, and I might just, you'll have to leave me alone just a minute while I get blessed. It might just be when I'm worshiping, I might just turn around. Miss Betty, come here. Right here she is, Jesus. You know all about her. You sent her my way. I want to show this trophy off because she got saved. She led me to the Lord. It's all because of you. My crowns go back to Him. In verses number 8 through 10, the creation of the Savior. Boy, we're a workmanship. We're a workmanship created in Christ Jesus, for by grace are ye saved through faith. and that not of yourself. There's nothing I could do. I'll remind you again, there's nothing. Young person, boy, girl, mom, dad, there's nothing you can do. You could pray all the prayers you want. You can bow down and say, God, forgive me, a sinner, all you want. But it's not in you, it's all in Him. It's all in Him. He convict that heart. It might be tonight He's doing that. You found yourself thinking, you know, I'm not a part of that crowd. I'm still in verses 2 and 3, talk about the course of the sinner. I'm still living after this world. I'm still living after this flesh. I'm still under the control of my father, the devil, because he's in control of you right now. But I want to be a part. I want to jump right into verse 4 where it says, but God. Oh, we're a workmanship. We're created in Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself, it's the gift of God. What a tremendous gift. A gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Verse 10, for where's workmanship? Hey, we're a product. We're a product of love tonight. We're a product of grace. Created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. I'm going to give you some verses and then I'm done. Romans 8 and verse 29. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many. The key that I wanted to bring out, to be conformed to the image of His Son. The whole reason now that you're saved, God wants to do a work in your life. He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. He wants to conform us to His Son, Jesus Christ, so that we can be like Him. And whatever it takes in our life, it ought to be conformed to His image. God don't want you to live a life that's according to the power of the prince of power of the air. God don't want you to live a life that's going to the course of this world. God don't want you to live a life that'd be pleasing to this old flesh. Because anything that's a pleasing to this flesh is surely not pleasing to God. Colossians 1:10. Colossians 1:10. That ye might walk worthy. And this isn't a prayer that the Apostle Paul wrote. That ye might walk worthy of the Lord and to all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work. Child of God, He wants you to be fruitful. He wants you to bear fruit. Much fruit. More fruit. He wants you to be fruitful. He wants you to flourish. He wants things that you do in your life to be fruitful. We're all part of the creation. We're all on the plan of God. In 2 Timothy 3:17, it says, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Titus 2:14, zealous of good works. Can I say something tonight? I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad I've been born again. I'm glad I'm part of this crowd. Fathers, we come to you in prayer. Lord, I want to thank you tonight. Lord, I don't know how you dealt with hearts. Lord, you changed a heart during our prayer time tonight to go mainly this way, to think about this chapter and to look at it and remind us again that maybe you could deal with hearts. As the pianist comes and plays just a couple of verses, I don't know how you dealt with hearts. It might be that the good saints of God might just want to come and just say thank you. Just whatever. We want them to mind the Lord, Father. And those that are not saved, well, I want you to draw them tonight. It takes the drawing power of God. Unless you convict, they'll never get saved. Without conviction, there's no conversion. And where there's no conversion, there was no conviction.
Father, we love You tonight. As Miss Hollis Sue plays, every head bowed and every eye closed.
God bless you. Thank you for visiting Rogersville Baptist Temple's website and for listening to this message preached at Rogersville Baptist Temple.